Well, good morning. My name is Britton. I'm the youth pastor here at Grace. It is my privilege to be up here and get to teach God's word alongside you. I really do find it a privilege just and an honor to open up God's word with all of you. Now, this December has kind of been a weird month as far as what the Sundays look like. We've kind of gone every other week something different. And so the first week we did Gospel According to Christmas Carols, and we did O Holy Night, and then last week was the beautiful Cantata, and this week we will be back in our Christmas Carols series, and then next week is Christmas Eve, and then New Year's Eve we'll be back at our Christmas Carol series. And so hopefully you've enjoyed, either like, man, I get a week off of Britton every other, that's awesome. If that's great, that's you. Yeah, you can clap. Put it in the comment card. Yeah, I have a special place to put those. But hopefully you've enjoyed just kind of December being a little different each and every week. But we are in the series, The Gospel According to Christmas Carols. Last week we looked at O Holy Night. This week, if you haven't heard some of the hints of we sang it already and it was playing during the offering, we are looking at Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And so if you're like, well, what are we doing the next week too? The final week of this series, we will be looking at O Come All Ye Faithful. So if that is your favorite song, Peyton, yes. And so if that is your favorite song, we will do that one. If I didn't get to some of your favorite songs, that's not my fault that December is only 4 weeks long. So we could do, I guess, a whole year of them if you like Christmas all the time. So last week we looked at a couple different Christmas songs, and I kind of gave you guys a quiz about, like, what is the song that talks about the sub-Saharan large African mammal that the little girl wants for Christmas? Yeah, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. So we are going to test your knowledge on some other kind of Christmas tradition that are here. And Christmas traditions have been in my head a little bit because I watched the Olaf Christmas special yesterday where he tries to find the traditions for Arendelle, and it's a great one if you like Olaf. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, don't worry, we're moving on. And so Christmas movies are a classic. Now, you probably have a certain movie that you like to watch at some point during the Christmas season, or you have a series of movies that you like to watch. Christina and I, we like to watch The Santa Claus with Tim Allen. All three of them are now on Netflix, which is great. We just love watching those ones back to back to back. We also like the Muppet Christmas Carol one. I'm personally a Muppet Treasure Island fan, but the Muppet Christmas one, how many other Muppet Christmas fans in here? A few. You're like, I don't want to raise my hand unless someone else is. So I'm going to show you a couple up here, a screenshot or a character from there, and we're going to see if you guys can guess the Christmas movie. So there's some easy ones. And there's some hard ones. The first one I think should be pretty easy. Yeah, The Grinch, right? That was me for a long time. I did not like Christmas, right? And so then I got married, and that changed everything. I actually do enjoy Christmas, but that is The Grinch. How about this one? A Christmas Story, yeah. Anyone have a pair of those PJs? Or that you want to... Jen, is your hand up? You do? Can I borrow them? No, my dad does. Oh, that is perfect. We'll talk afterwards. Yeah, A Christmas Story. If you, on TBS, I think they still do it 24 hours straight of A Christmas Story. So if you are insane and you want to watch that 24 hours straight, you can shoot your eye out for 24 hours straight. How about the next one? It's a Wonderful Life, yeah. I've never seen it. I haven't. I've seen parts of it, like that picture, and my parents love it, and that might be why I've never seen it. They used to watch it all the time as kids, and I was like, Mom, it's not even in color. Why watch it? And so I've never actually seen it, but I hear it's a great one. Apparently now, with all of your comments, I will go home and watch it. How about this one? I heard Snoopy and then... Yeah, Charlie Brown Christmas. I actually haven't seen that one either. Oh my gosh, are you even a Christian? Yeah, I haven't seen that one either. I have seen this next one, though. Yeah, Miracle on 34th Street, the OG one, the original one. It is in black and white, but they made it color. Yeah, I've seen both the new one and the old one. That's a great one. How about this one? Yeah, White Christmas. I've seen this one way too many times because of my parents. Well, because of my mom. She loves this one. How about this one? Yeah, Rudolph. Thank you for the official title, Peyton. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is correct. This is actually one of my favorite ones coming up. What about this one? Anyone? Jingle All the Way, yeah. You can't go bad with Arnold and Sinbad in a movie. So some of you are like, what is that? It's all about the Turbo Man. And you get this Turbo Man doll, and he wants it for his daughter, I think, or son. And they go through all this crazy stuff of trying to find the last Turbo Man doll. And some of you might know that when the Tickle Me Elmos came out, and you were like, I have to get a Tickle Me Elmo or a Furby, or for me it was a Tamagotchi. And all these little things, but that is a great movie. And then probably Mike and I were talking before the service, one of the Christmas classics. Yeah, Home Alone with Kevin. And so another great one. But we have all these Christmas traditions of movies. We love watching these movies, but really the Christmas Carol holds a timeless tradition or a Christmas tradition place. And so that's really what we're going to be looking at. And as we look at this series of looking at Christmas carols, we want to take Christmas carols away from just being a song and actually being worship. They can be songs, but they also can be worship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're doing, of taking some of the lyrics, looking at the Bible and seeing, is that where they got them from? And if so, why? And what does that mean? And then we can go and sing them again as worship. So this week, we're taking a look at Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And a little background on that one, it was written by Charles Wesley in 1739, so a little while ago. And then it was changed. It was originally a poem or a hymn, and then it was changed by a guy named George Whitefield. You've probably heard of him. And it was originally in 10 four-line phrases. And then George kind of changed it up into the traditional eight-line phrases that we have today. And its original title was Hymn for Christmas Day. So if you want to find the original one, Hymn for Christmas Day is the title of that one. And we'll be looking at three different lines in this song. The first one is God and sinners reconciled. And then we'll be looking at veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. And so they are listed there on your note page in the bulletin, so you can follow along there as well. But the first line, God and sinners reconciled. We sing right past that phrase a lot and never really looking at it. Okay, God and sinners reconciled. Somehow we are reconciled to God. But first we have to answer a question is, why do we need to be reconciled to God? Why do we even need to be reconciled to God? I thought God and I are good. I thought we were on like the same page. I'm on God's team. Why is there reconciliation that has to happen between God and me? What did I even do? The real question is, what haven't we done? Right? We're born these dirty, rotten sinners. That's how we're born. Right? Ever since Adam ate, right, I call it the stupid fruit from the smart tree. Is how Adam did it. Ever since then, we have sin, and we're born sinful. I told you last week, if you don't believe that we're born sinful, go walk by the nursery and just watch. The cutest little sinners you will ever see. But you have two kids playing with each other. One takes their toy. Sin has entered the nursery, right? Their first words are either no or mine. Right, those, and that's how it is, and we are born sinful people. And we have to look back to 2 weeks ago at O Holy Night. Right, long lay the world in sin and error pining. We live in a sinful place, and we are sinful people. We have been born sinners. We've been born with this wedge between us and God. We want to have this access to God, but there's something between us and God. And our sin denies us access to God on our own. We can't just get to God on our own because of our sin. And we looked 2 weeks ago, we were born dead to sin. We were born enemies of God. And yet God created, though, our souls to feel their worth in him. Our souls were meant to long and to yearn for their worth in who Jesus Christ has made us to be. And he, God's ultimate goal is to reconcile us to himself, to bring us back to him, to how he created us to be. And so that's what we're going to really look at this morning is how did God do that? How did he reconcile us to him? So if you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It will also be up on the screen as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 18. We see Paul's words here of really what went down. 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So how does God do this? How does God reconcile sinners to himself? All through Jesus Christ. Through his son, Jesus Christ, who was given the ministry of reconciliation, and through his blood and through his death on the cross, we have been given that ministry as well. And one of the greatest parts of this reconciliation is that God now sees us through what Jesus did on the cross. He doesn't look at you and he sees the sin that you've done. He sees a redeemed child bought with the blood of Christ. He doesn't look at you and say, wow, you've done a lot of stuff. No, I don't think you're good enough for me. He says, wow, you have been bought by the death of my son. And his blood has paid for the penalty of all your sins, past, present, and future. And I'm going to look at you through the lens of my son, Jesus Christ, a redeemed child of God, and you're going to be reconciled to me. And we are going to be able to spend eternity together in heaven. Now, this reconciliation that takes place, it makes us ambassadors for Christ. Now, an ambassador is kind of like a representative of Christ. As Christians, it is our job. The Bible is clear that we are ambassadors for Jesus. We are representatives of Jesus. And I had a pastor who always would say the representative is really you're representing whoever you're the representative of. And so really, being a representative of Christ, you get to represent Jesus to the people around you. And sometimes the only view of Jesus people will have is how you act as a Christian around them. That might be their first view of who Jesus is. I've talked to a lot of my friends who have been hurt by Christians. And so Jesus isn't a positive person. They've been hurt by people who say, I love God. And so they don't look at God as someone who's good. And that's a lot of responsibility on our side. But that's part of what it means to be an ambassador of Christ, to represent Jesus to the people that we come in contact with. That means you never miss an opportunity to talk about Jesus. Never miss an opportunity to open up your Bible. Never miss an opportunity to pray. Now, yes, we are sinners. We will mess up. But our goal, we should strive that we always are bringing up Jesus, showing Jesus' love, his grace, and his mercy to everybody we come in contact with. Now, sometimes it might be easier for some people with their job than others. So for myself, I get to talk about Jesus a lot. But there's also hard parts about being a pastor. Right? A lot of non-Christians don't want to be your friend. Oh, you're a pastor? You're just going to judge me the whole time, aren't you? Right? Oh, you're a pastor? I can't really get close to you because you're close to God, and that's not really going to work out. But I enjoy bringing up Jesus into many conversations, and I don't sometimes. But the times I do, one of my favorite places, and I think I've told the students this before, one of my favorite places, what is it, Claire? The airplane. I love talking about Jesus in the airplane because he can't go anywhere. And so you sit down next to somebody, and usually there's the awkward kind of hi, you got the middle seat, kind of thing going on. And then eventually the plane takes off, and you have a couple types of people, the ones that just put in their headphones, and they just leave me alone, don't talk to me. I'm just, or you have the ones that just will talk to you nonstop the whole time, and you're like, oh my goodness. And then you have some in between. Now, I like to read a book on the airplane, and so it'll usually be some kind of Christian living or theology book. And we usually start a conversation. I usually like to start it awkwardly, like, oh, where are you going? Because we're going to the same place, because we're both on the same airplane. Hey, where are you headed? And they're like, same place you are. I'm like, oh, cool. And try to get that awkwardness in there a little bit early. And then typically, what's your name? And I tell them my name, and they go, wait, what is it? And I was like, Britain, like the country. Oh, Britain, got it. And then we start talking, what are you reading? And I'm like, yes, they asked what I'm reading. Right? And I usually show them, like, oh, it's a book on about God or about prayer. And they're like, oh, okay. What are you reading? And we kind of strike up a conversation, and you can kind of see them in their head start to think. And then usually it's, I'll initiate and go, oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, and what was the guy? He traded Venus flytraps, carnivorous plants for a living. I was like, that's pretty cool. And then he's, well, what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. A what? And they look at me, how old? Like, you're not that old. You actually dress kind of stylish. How are you a pastor? And I say, well, I'm a youth pastor. Oh, it's like a junior pastor. I'm like, oh. No, like I pastor the youth between 6th grade and 12th grade. Oh, cool. What do you do? I'm like, yes. And I get to talk to them about what I do. Oh, I teach them. What do you teach them? They just ask me, what do I teach the youth? They just ask me to tell them about God. And so I just tell them, I'm like, well, here's like a sample thing that I'll teach about. And I just share the gospel with them right then and there in the airplane. And sometimes they just go, oh, cool. and sometimes we'll just keep a conversation. And I've yet to lead someone in an airplane to Christ, but I don't know where they're at now. I have to assume that maybe that was the only Jesus they were ever going to meet, was how I acted as a Christian. Now, I've screwed it up sometimes, too. There's times I've been that guy in the airplane with my headphones in because I don't want to talk to anybody. But I try to take those opportunities to be God's ambassador, to represent who Jesus is, because I am reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, and I want other people to be that as well. And so he's created us to be with him. And through Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to him. We get to represent Jesus to the people around us. Now, there is this bridge of reconciliation to God in the flesh that is beautifully seen in one of Paul's letters to the church in Colossae. So join me. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. It'll be up on the screen as well. Verses 19 through 20. And we get to see where really one of the lines from Hark the Herald Angels Sing comes from. Colossians 1, starting in verse 19, says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." In Jesus, in man, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. God was pleased to come down to earth as man to live a sinless life and to die for us. But in order for this to happen, Jesus had to be fully God and fully man at the same time. I don't understand how that works, and I will find out when I get to heaven. Like, God, okay, I have a couple questions. One, what was it like for Nebuchadnezzar to be a cow? And two, well, three, how does the Trinity work? And how were you fully God and fully man all at the same time? Because he can't just be one or the other. Jesus couldn't have been just fully man and not fully God. Because then his death on the cross wouldn't have paid that ultimate sacrifice for our sins. He needed to be God for that to happen. Otherwise, it was just a man dying on a cross. But you take away that humanity aspect and he was only fully God, he couldn't have died. God can't die. He wouldn't have died, which means that ultimate sacrifice for our sins wouldn't have been paid for. So in order for that to happen, Jesus had to have been fully God and fully man at the same time. And God was pleased to dwell as that. He was happy because he loves us so much. He was pleased to come down to earth and do that for us. By Jesus' blood, by Jesus being God and being man, he was that incarnate deity that we sing of. And through that, we are reconciled to God. Sin holds no power over us anymore. We are in God's eternal family. What you have done doesn't shape your identity. No matter what your past looks like, what you have done, that does not shape your identity. As a Christian, your identity is a reconciled child of God. It doesn't matter the sins of your past, the sins of now, and the sins that you will commit. You are a reconciled child of God, and that is where your identity dwells. And God loved us so much, he sent his son to earth to die for us. God was pleased to do that. What an amazing love God did that out of. What an amazing grace God did that out of. And what an amazing God we have that he would be pleased to do that for us. Now, this might shock some of you. I'm not God, okay, which is great. Okay, you do not want me to be God. If I was God, I would not have been pleased to dwell amongst myself and the earth, right? I would not have been pleased to dwell amongst a people who would sin against me. I would not have been pleased to do that. I would not have wanted to reconcile those people to myself. But I'm not God. Thank God. I'm not God. And he is. And he has this unconditional love. He loves us so much that no matter what we've done, he says, I'm pleased to dwell among you. And I'm pleased to take your identity, and it's going to be in me as a reconciled child of God. And that's really one of the greatest two words that we can read in the Bible, but God. Whenever you see that there, it is amazing. Because usually it's something of what we were, and then it says, but God. No matter what it was that we were, but God. And we were these dirty, rotten sinners who couldn't reconcile ourselves to God on our own. But God, in his great love and mercy, has reconciled us to himself by dwelling among us and dying for us. And that's really where we get to the last line that we'll look at this morning. It really should be that echo of what our hearts say of Jesus, our Emmanuel. Emmanuel meaning God with us. And that's what really we'll be looking at next Sunday on Christmas Eve. Is Emmanuel God with us? What did it mean for God to be with us? So what does this all mean? To be reconciled to God, to have God be pleased to dwell among us, what does this mean? Well, as a Christian, you're in God's family. God sees you not as the things that you have done wrong, although we still do give an account to God in the end for our sin, but rather as righteous and reconciled through Jesus' blood, we have been made clean. And that is how God views you. Now, don't let your sin rule over you. The sins of your past, the sins of today, the sins of tomorrow. You are not those. As a Christian, you are a child of God. You are a reconciled child of God. You are a new creation. You are dead to sin and alive in Christ, and you are loved by an everlasting God who was pleased to dwell on earth with you. Reconciliation means you aren't your sins. You are saved. Reconciliation means you are not your sins. You are saved. Christians, Jesus is God. Let us live this new life, giving glory to the newborn King. Let us orient our lives towards Christ, our actions, our words, our decisions. Let them all give glory to God, the one who deserves it. And let us give glory to Jesus Christ. Let us be ambassadors of Jesus. Let us represent ourselves to the people around us, or represent Jesus to the people around us. Now, if you aren't a Christian, you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, welcome to church. We are so glad that you're here. We are glad that you decided to join us, or you got dragged in and to join us this morning. Either way, welcome. And I want you to know that you are loved by an everlasting God, and that God wants to reconcile you to him. He wants to make you new by his son's blood, and he wants to release you from the power of your past sins, your sins of today, and your sins of tomorrow. And if you don't know Jesus, he was pleased to dwell and to die because he loves you. And in response, we want to love him as our Savior. God and sinners reconciled, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as men with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the wonderful opportunity to open up your word, the Bible, learn more about you and your son, Jesus Christ. God, thank you for reconciling us to you, that we can have access to you through what your son Jesus Christ did on the cross. God, I pray for everyone in this room, including myself, that we can live our lives for you, that we can represent Jesus Christ to the people around us. God, we love you and we love your bride, the church. In your name, amen.